Welcome to ContenderCast, a global leadership and consumer industries entrepreneurship podcast centered on shining a light on bright ideas. And now, here's your host, Justin Hahnemann.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for subscribing and following. It's Justin Hahnemann, ContenderCast. We're shining a light on bright ideas. We're in the beverage space today. You're going to love hearing about the Crafty Cask. Like, such a cool name. Founder is on, Suzanne Henriksen. Suzanne, it's so great to have you on the podcast.
It's great to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
I love it. The first thing I thought when I saw your company information, what you're doing, I was like, okay, cool name. Like, I can't even wait to unpack this. And so we're going to do that. And it's just like, nice job on the branding. It's so great to have you on. You have a great background in consumer goods, and we're going to unpack that first before we get to the Crafty Cask. So why don't we do that? Suzanne, share a little bit about you, your background, how you got into the industry, and then we'll jump into your new company.
Yeah, sure. I got my MBA at Thunderbird back in the day and loved to travel. And so always thought I was going to kind of go in that route. And then one of my really good friends landed at Clorox right when I graduated. And she came back and was recruiting and talking to me about market research, something I hadn't really considered. And she just really made it sound compelling and exciting. And I learned all about Clorox, and it's a great marketing training ground. Like, they just really train their marketers well. And so I kind of took the leap. They're in the Bay Area. Who doesn't want to live in the Bay Area, you know? So it seemed like a great fit. And so I headed over there, and I ended up staying there for, gosh, I think it was almost 12 years. That flew by like the drop of a pin. And I worked in market research. I really led up their digital insights teams, their innovation insights teams, their customer service team for all 35 brands I ended up leading up by the time I left there.
Wow.
And so really was in that space, brand health, brand tracking, all of that good stuff. And so from there, I loved what I did. I loved the company, but I was always just like kind of side hustling a little bit. You know, I was always doing a little bit of the food and wine and like passionate about that stuff and trying to figure out what I could do on my own with my skills. And so the more and more I did that, the more I traveled for work and personally, I just started coming across all these, you know, craft alcohol makers that I kind of fell in love with. And so that kind of led me down my next path. But I had a great training ground there, and I'm still very good friends with lots of the people over there. So it's a great place, CPG, to get your marketing chops all pulled together.
Yeah, so helpful, I'm sure, just to see how brands are launched. A big company like Clorox, you know, you have major brands that go through all kinds of different distribution mechanisms, all kinds of different types of stores and online e-commerce, et cetera. So it's a great place to really understand the industry, and I'm sure that was a good setup for you launching your own brand. How did you decide it was going to be in the beverage space and the alcoholic beverage space?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. When I was getting my MBA, I did an internship up in Napa at a winery. And so I lived up there for the summer, and I loved the wine country, and I loved being in that industry. But I learned very quickly that, like, you needed to learn your marketing somewhere else and then go back into the wine industry. They weren't really going to teach you marketing there. They were trying to figure it out themselves. So that's why I ended up at Clorox. I kind of took a detour out of alcohol from my internship.
Interesting. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
And so I was always passionate about it, and I really wanted to get back to that.
Got it. And great space to be in. How did you decide, like, your niche? Like, what were you going to focus on from a product perspective?
Yeah, it was really from, you know, so I had a really deep marketing expertise, and that was my skill set that I knew I could offer. And then as I was traveling the world, I just kept finding these amazing craft alcohol makers. You know, I went down through the jungles in Zanzibar to find this banana beer, and these people who were just so passionate about what they were doing, but really struggling with how to make the business successful. And the only path that they saw was to, like, sell to big booze someday. You know, that was the only path. And what I saw is that they didn't really have a good marketing solution. You know, they either had these big agencies that they couldn't afford, or they had Google, which would lead them down these rabbit holes that weren't really for them and had nothing to do with alcohol and get themselves in trouble, right? And so I kind of started to think that maybe I could be that stopgap in between, where I could come in and I could really support these small artisan, independently owned craft alcohol makers, kind of thrive and build their dreams. And so that's kind of where the idea came from for the Crafty Cask.
Love it. Yeah. So for those that haven't visited your website yet, you can check it out. The Crafty Cask is a place for craft beer, wine, spirit, cider, sake, all kinds of other enthusiasts to learn, discover, and enjoy their passion for craft alcohol. And your mission is to envision a future where the craft alcohol artisans are more broadly appreciated, understood, and sought out by consumers. Very, very cool. I love that idea. So what was first? Was it, okay, I'm going to jump into this space? Did you have to research more about the alcohol beverage industry? Was it, you know, going after, figure out which customer you're going to go after? Like, what did that look like?
Yeah, you know, I kind of did it. It was interesting. I think the transition from corporate to entrepreneurship, in retrospect, looking back at it, threw me for more of a loop than I realized, you know, moving from that structure to that independent, like figuring it out. So really, I would say the first year or two, I kind of hid a little bit and I like just focused on building a brand because that's something that was tactile, tangible. I could do that. So I was really giving away free content for a very long time and just trying to get people aware of us, starting to build our credibility. And that's really where I started. And then as I kind of did that, I started to figure out what are the actual products and services I want to offer to start to bring revenue in once I had kind of that brand beneath me.
Got it. So talk about what kind of how you're going to market now. You've got your Sip Scout club. You've got events. You have a lot of good content that you're sharing. You've got, of course, the cocktail space and whatnot. Share with our audience like how you're approaching that.
Yeah, yeah. It's been a really interesting journey. You know, when we first started out, one of the first things I did was created an online craft alcohol marketing bootcamp for craft alcohol makers. So basically 10 courses online, really teach them all about marketing in the alcohol space. We started to get some clients after that. And then the pandemic hit, you know, and pandemic. And everyone's cutting their marketing budgets, you know, especially these small businesses who barely have marketing budgets to begin with. That was the first thing to go. And so we pivoted pretty quickly. We kept seeing all these articles about winemakers leading virtual wine tastings. And knowing winemakers like we do, we were like, that is not what they want to be doing. That is not their skill set necessarily. How can we get in and help here? Particularly because my partner is a certified sommelier. He was doing wine tours in Napa and Sonoma for 15, 20 years.
Got it.
Which obviously that disappeared, you know, with the pandemic too. So my partner came into the business and we really started to do these virtual corporate tastings. At first we were doing them for consumers just for kind of the goodness of our heart during the pandemic to give people a way to connect. And then corporations started picking up on it and saying, hey, can you do this for a conference? Can you do this for lead gen? Can you do this? So it organically just grew out of nowhere. We had a great 2 years with that. And then as the pandemic kind of slowed down, we said, hey, now we have the infrastructure to do this with consumers. We can ship kits all over the country, right? We figured out how to ship these curated alcohol kits with partners and vendors. And so we launched, you know, the first of its kind rotating craft alcohol subscription club, where every month you get a different type of craft alcohol. 1 month it's a beer tasting kit, 1 month it's a whiskey tasting kit. And each month we have a virtual tasting that goes along with it. You know, last night we just had one, a bourbon and chocolate event, and we had four different distillers on the call with us. So you got to taste six different whiskeys, meet the distillers, talk with the distillers, they get to talk to consumers. So that's kind of where we're at now, is we have this Sip Scout, direct-to-consumer subscription club that we just love, and we're building up our membership base.
One of the biggest challenges in alcohol beverages is the, especially in North America, is the three-tier distribution model. Like, how have you approached that? You obviously were aware of it because of your internship in the wine space, but how do you guys approach that when you're in D2C model?
Yeah, we are really working with partners who have the licensing and have the shipping and all of that figured out, right? So we don't ever touch the alcohol ourselves. So we have our, you know, co-packers and retailers and, you know, all of them purchasing the alcohol for us and then co-packing it for us and shipping it out to consumers on our behalf.
Got it. That's great.
Adds a layer of complexity for us, for sure.
Yeah, sure. No, so you get your kit, you got recipes and whatnot, try different drinks. And how are you getting the word out? Like, how are you building awareness of what you guys are doing, and who is your target audience?
Yeah, you know, that's what we're still figuring out. You know, we just launched Sip Scout about a year ago, so that's probably our newest product offering. And so we're still figuring that out. Our target audience is, it's niche, because it's not beer drinkers or wine drinkers, right? It's people who want to explore all different types of craft alcohol.
Sure.
And we know those people exist. We're certainly those people. We know lots of people like that. But it's a smaller segment of the population, because a lot of people do very staunchly say, I'm a wine drinker. And so they don't want a different kit every month, right? But there are people who like want different kits. And so that's really, and people who travel, you know, if you're traveling and you're planning your whole itinerary to go to breweries and distilleries and cider houses, like you are a target consumer. And so we're working through this and we're, you know, doing some paid ads, doing some Google search, doing some of the standard social media stuff, but we're really starting to focus in on where, you know, whiskey enthusiasts kind of hang out, where beer enthusiasts hang out, and really focusing there.
And then how do you think about your revenue model? What does that look like, maybe short term and even longer term?
Yeah, our revenue model is an interesting one, especially because we're kind of, half of our business is direct to consumer, half of our consumer is working with the makers. And I always kind of joke that our biggest flaw in our revenue model is that our ideal client, small independently owned craft alcohol makers, don't have any money themselves, really.
Right. You
know? So they're our ideal client, but their budgets are tight.
Sure.
So that's always been a little bit of a challenge because we want to keep our costs low for them to help them out. But our revenue model for the subscription club is, you know, it's subscription. It's great. It's, once you get into the program, you know, it's a recurring revenue stream. And as we grow that, it works really well for us. And especially, you know, as anything scales, your costs go down. And so that helps your margins a lot. So we're a little bit in that growing phase right now, but it looks good for the future.
Oh, that's awesome. As you're thinking about the future, and obviously you're in acquisition mode in terms of getting customers and whatnot, what else are you thinking about in terms of either growing brand or growing product or growing, like, you know, offerings and whatnot? How do you think about that in the next like 12 to 18 months?
Yeah, you know, we're actually in a unique situation where we're streamlining right now. So we've been around for about 6 years. And as you can tell, as we're talking, we have a lot of services and products in kind of different areas. And I think that was the typical entrepreneurial, let me put a lot of
right,
irons
try
in
lots
different
of things.
Fires and
yeah.
see what hits. Yeah. But as a small team, that taxes you, you know? And so right now we're really streamlining and focusing very heavily on the Sip Scout craft alcohol club primarily, and really focusing there. And then over time, we'll see if we kind of start to bring some of these other pieces back to life again.
Got it. We have a lot of entrepreneurs that listen, and I always love to ask our guests some of their biggest pieces of advice. And you bet this a couple of years now, like what are some of the things you've learned that have really worked? And then we'll flip it back the other way and say, what are some of the things that really haven't worked? Let's start with the things that have worked.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, the things that have worked are, you know, you have to surround yourself with people who know more than you do about all of this stuff, right? Like if you think you're the smartest person in any room, you're not hanging out with the right people. So leverage your network, leverage your, you know, the people that you know, and ask for help, right? Like that, you know, that's really important, I think. And, you know, some of the other things that have worked are leaning into technology, you know, like really like trying to start to learn all this AI stuff that's hot right now. And everyone's trying to figure out how to really leverage that, trying to jump on those things early. It's so easy as an entrepreneur to say, like, I just don't have time for that. But you have to make time because that ultimately is going to make your business run more efficiently.
Totally. And then what hasn't worked? Anything that you've tried is like, man, that was just, that was not good. as you've been launching and growing.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's funny, you do these things that when you do them, you're like, I know better than that. Like, why did I do that? So this whole idea of like, if you build it, they will come, right? We all know not to do that. We all know to like test and test and test. But there have been a couple of things that I've spent so much time and energy on building out and then just can't figure out how to get the market to be interested in it, you know? So I would say really that's probably one of my biggest lessons.
Yeah.
That and keep your network alive, you know? Like it's hard when you're an entrepreneur and you're alone at home behind your desk to keep all those relationships you've made for so many years alive, but you're going to need them someday and you're going to wish you did. So keep that networking alive is really important.
And did you find that your consumer products background and kind of that network has helped you out, or is it more just the experience working in that industry?
You know, it's a double-edged sword, I would say, because, you know, when you work in a big company like that, you think you understand marketing, you think you get it, but then as soon as you're on your own,
right,
you realize
you don't have all the resources.
Right. Yeah. I don't have an agency to call. I don't have anyone to make my creative for me. Like you really don't realize that you're more of a project manager in the big companies of marketing agencies and marketing than you are like a true marketer yourself. So that was a big aha for me. And that takes some humility to kind of get over that and really acknowledge that you don't know what you don't know. But I mean, my background in corporate has helped me a ton, I think, if nothing else, to show up as a buttoned up professional, even though you're small and scrappy in a startup, and to really present yourself as though you are where you're going to be versus sure. where you currently are. I think that's really helped that presentation.
I think that's actually really great advice. So cool. Share with our audience where they could find you, connect with you, learn more, sample, try, etc. And share some of like the different platforms you've got where you're sharing content, because I think that would be super helpful, especially with what you guys are doing.
Yeah, sure. You can find everything at thecraftycast.com. And all of our SIP Scout kits are up there. You can see the next 6 SIP Scout kits that are going to be coming out for us. Next month is an Aqua V kit with a Bunny Mary brunch cocktail. Yeah, nice. Really fun. So we go into some off the beaten things. Yeah, for sure. And then, yeah, we're on all the standard social platforms. We are on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, you know, all those good places, and Pinterest. And then we are at The Crafty Cask on all of them. So you can find it there. And we're always creating and sharing content. So if you like to learn about craft alcohol and learn about new brands, we are your new best friends.
Oh, wow. And yeah, actually, before we go, share what have you seen in the industry? You talked about COVID and whatnot, but what have you seen from the industry side of things? Like, where have you seen growth, and what have you seen are some of the trends?
Yeah, you know, craft breweries and craft wineries, not surprisingly, they have all been around for a very long time, you know, and really going at that game strong. So I feel like that area is well-formed and well-developed. Craft cider is really up and coming. It's really up and coming, craft cider, and craft spirits as well. There are some amazing things going on in the craft spirit space, especially with some more off the beaten path things like Aqua V or like Amaros or like liqueurs. And so it's a really fun playground these days to get out there and just explore for consumers and try new things.
And I think that's what I think is cool about what you guys are doing, is you're really allowing people to get creative with their drink mixes, and also to try new things, right, that they might not normally try just going to the store.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really, really cool. It's so good meeting you. Excited for you and where you guys are going. You got to come back, share with us how things are progressing, Suzanne. So great having you on. And again, excited for where you guys are headed.
Great. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the time.
The Contender Cast is powered by Contender Brands and is the top global consumer industries entrepreneurship podcast. You can find additional Contender Cast episodes on worldwide podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, iHeartMedia, YouTube, and other preferred podcast platforms. If you would like to be a guest on the Contender Cast, connect with us at contendercast.com. This is Brian Benson reminding you that every winner started as a contender.